Okay, warriors, you are listening to Unqualified Therapists. Remember, stay wild and weird.
Hey, warriors, this is Amy.
And I'm Sarah. We started this podcast because mental health is complicated and the stigma surrounding it can make us feel alone.
So we are here to share authentic stories in order to normalize and prioritize mental health.
We believe in professional therapy. We both use it on our own healing journeys.
But we also know it isn't one size fits all. So we are here to provide tools from our own experiences,
as well as those from our guests and professionals that come on the show.
Thank you for being here as we navigate the complexities of mental health and mental illness together.
Remember, hold on, warriors. We're gonna make it. Warrior.
To another episode of the Unqualified Therapist. Why are you laughing? Who's making fun of me?
Nobody's making fun of you. It's just because these two weirdos are dancing next to me, so to our theme song.
First of all, if it's weird to dance to that song, then I don't want to be normal.
Word
to your mother.
In case you can't tell,
we have company.
We have company today. It has been a long ass time since we have had our other halves on the show with us, but we have so much fun when they're with us, and we haven't done our other podcast in for freaking ever. So we were like, let's get the boys on again, and so here they are.
Spice it up a little.
Yes.
And Lizzie. Right? No? Anybody?
No.
No? The boys are back in town.
Yes!
Come
Stop!
On.
Damn
Come
it!
On, people.
I don't know who sings anything. I'm terrible.
You know. Well, I hope one of the listeners might have.
They do.
That was good.
Somebody.
It's so, really nice. Right,
so back in town.
If anybody got that joke before I said the punchline, then
DM him.
Slide into his DMs.
Slide on in.
So we have my husband, Randy.
Hello.
Michael's with us. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
This week, we really wanted to talk about how music affects our mental health, and that's why we wanted to have the guys on with us, because all four of us are such huge music fans. It is a large part of all of our lives, and so we thought, why not have some fun and give you guys a little lighthearted goodness in your ears today. In your ear meat.
Eargasms.
Ew.
Jesus.
Like and subscribe for more eargasms.
I'm sure that's why they're here.
I tried to do some research to give us, because you guys know I love the science behind stuff. I'm going to give you like 10 seconds of it. All I could find is that there have been multiple, like hundreds, thousands of studies done on how music can help your mental health. And all of them have a resounding answer that it calms your nervous system. It lowers cortisol levels. That is your stress hormone. So, I mean, we all want that to be lower. And it also shows that it has a beneficial effect on brain chemicals such as dopamine, and that is the chemical that is linked to your feelings of pleasure, and oxytocin, which is the so-called love hormone. So music is good for so many aspects of your positive mental health. And Amy is going to, Amy, the Catholic girl in Amy right now is dying a little inside, and she's so embarrassed right now. Why are you so giggly?
No, I'm just giggling. Sorry to interrupt the research. No, my brain was somewhere else, and so I was giggling. I'm sorry.
Do I want to know or no?
No.
Okay. All right. We're not going to know then.
She was logged in. You know what I'm saying? I'll send you an instant message on AOL.
AIM.
AIM. That's it.
I have my away messages up. It's a song lyric.
Sweet.
Still up. It's been up for like 20 years. You still got that away message of some guy being like, she's never coming back.
I figured for this episode, I was going to list my top 8 on MySpace.
Oh.
Yeah. Been narrowed down to 5. 10 was too much. Top 8.
All right. Who else always had a song lyric as their away message for AIM? Anyone?
No.
Just me?
I can't remember if I...
We were not that clever. Also, I was... That was like the tail end of my college time.
Yeah.
Did that all come out?
Same. So it was my last 2 years, so it would have been your very end.
No.
Yeah, I always... And I just started dating Randy, so I also had to put up song lyrics that, you know, were like a little wink to him, but without overtly saying how I felt about him. So I would put, you know, something up that was like, this may sound like I like you, so...
It was very confusing.
To make each other mixtapes or mixed CDs.
Fuck yes,
eventually.
We did.
Yeah. CDs.
Yeah. We absolutely did.
Mixtapes, mixed CDs.
What was
so
all like LimeWire?
I used LimeWire and Napster. They were great, except every once in a while you would go to download a song and it wouldn't be that song. It would be something else.
And you had to delete it.
Like one time I tried to download something by Britney Spears and when I opened it, it was literally.
Jungle Love?
No, like somebody making that monkey sounds.
I was like, that's an upgrade. If you try to download Britney, no offense, Britney, but you got Morris Day. That is a win.
No, it's just somebody making monkey sounds.
No, but but sometimes though, if you download some kind of hip hop song or something, like every 30 seconds, like this is a DJ Bubba production. Bubba, I was like, can you shut the fuck up? Like I'm trying to listen to the song.
I get it.
You worked on the song. Can you just intro it, please?
My Catholicism went, from the bedroom right into stealing music, and so I bought all the CDs. I've never used one of those things in my life.
What?
My goodness.
Yeah.
That's strike
straight
one.
Straight follow edge. The rules.
Straight edge Amy.
Except when I was younger and it was top 8 at 8 on B94 or whatever. And then I would hit the record on the thing while the thing came. And then if you missed it, that was that.
Well, I just got upset when the DJ would talk over the intro. I was like, shut up. I'm trying to record my song.
Yeah. This is what I'm going to listen to for the next 10 days, asshole.
So we're actually going to try to be a little organized here as a foursome, which doesn't happen very often. So we're going to start off by talking about what? Foursome?
Sicko.
Now, who really has a dirty mind? We all straight face, as a foursome. Dirty Amy over here. giggling at everything.
That sounds like a very easy nickname to stick.
Dirty Amy.
The DA of Pittsburgh. Dirty Amy.
That's very.
Came off. That came out real easily.
Done. Yeah.
That's what she said to me. All right.
See.
So first, we're going to talk about what music. Again, that's what she said. All right. Anyway, we could Michael Scott this all night. We're going to talk about what music means to us and why we love it so much. So for me, music, I grew up in a house of music. My dad was in radio and was a DJ when I was born and was involved in all kinds of aspects of music, from being on the radio to programming of music to concerts and booking talent and all of that. So I was really in the nitty gritty of it, and he was just so passionate about it that I think it just runs through my veins that way. And the way that it affects me in my mood, it can literally change any kind of state of mind that I'm in. It can, even if I'm in a good state of mind, it can bring me down if I listen to the right thing, and I can go into a downward spiral. So I got to be careful. But it seriously affects every aspect of how I feel physically and mentally. And I've just always been sort of a music worshiper. It's been such a huge part of my life, and I constantly have something going at all times. I know it drives you crazy, Randy, sometimes. He's like, I just need some quiet. Can we have quiet for a minute?
You certainly don't like when I pause something to say something.
Oh my God, it drives me insane.
Is it better to talk over it though?
I'd just rather you not.
Don't just shut up, basically, okay?
That's fair enough.
Just kidding, but not really. No, I am. So yeah, it's just been a huge, huge part of my life, my entire life. And I don't know what I would do without it or where I would be without it. So it means so much to me. How about you, Randall?
Not as deep as yours. There it is. I feel like it music takes me back in different places and different parts of my life, and how I first caught something that I liked. Oh, that didn't sound right. Music wise.
Dirty yeah. Randy. Yeah. The doctor. So yeah,
doctor.
Doctor Randall.
Little Dr. DR
Randall
love.
And, DA AIM.
It's like Pittsburgh Perv or something like that. It's just like,
come on, man.
I think that's the nice thing is that music can take you places you never thought of going on your own or trying. You know, you could hear a song or hear a lyric or hear something and you could immediately time travel. And I think it's really cool. I mean, it could take you, you know, some sad places and stuff like that. But just how free and powerful it is always something that I loved.
Yeah.
I'm only making faces because yeah. Sarah and I were having that conversation when you guys weren't here. It's like immediate. Mm-hmm. So I can like feel the room. I can see everything. Like I know details and it's just from a song.
It's crazy.
It takes you right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think part of that reason is they've done a lot of research on it that different frequencies, like music actually has a physical aspect to it. Mm-hmm. It's not just in your ears. Like when you play certain frequencies, I don't know if you've ever seen where they'll throw a bunch of sand on a table, mm-hmm. and they'll play a frequency,
yeah.
and it will form into a shape.
Like an artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go a different frequency, and it moves to that. Like, yeah. It is a wild, it's like magic.
Mm-hmm.
But it you know, proves that music can physically affect your body, mm-hmm. not just, you know, it's not just absorbed through your ears. It could be taken in with all your senses, pretty much. So I think that's why it could be such a powerful, you know, tool.
Yeah.
You know?
What's it mean to you, Mike?
To me, well, obviously I love music. I play music. I've played it for a while. Apparently, I attended my first concert in the womb, Three Dog Night. I guess I was...
Awesome.
Apparently, I was drumming all night in there. So it was no surprise I became a drummer. But I always wanted to play... I can't remember when I first wanted to play drums, but I know in fourth grade, I remember that. That's the first time I could... I can even remember wanting to play, and I wanted to. That's when you could pick an instrument, mm-hmm. at school. And I said, I want to play the drums. And my dad talked me out of it. He said that, he's like, well, you're going to have to start. And I guess it came from a good place, I think. He's like, well, you'll have to start on that practice pad, and you might not like it. Why don't you play the saxophone? I played that. Your uncle played that. We can get your uncle's refurbished. So we did that, and I played it for like until fifth grade. I just wasn't into it. I kind of wish I stuck with it now because it'd be cool to be able to play a saxophone, yeah. but I just kind of gave up. Didn't play in the band after that at all, like not in middle school or anything, until I finally got a drum set in my junior year of high school for Christmas from my uncle, actually. And it was off to the races after that because I picked it up like that.
Yeah.
Because I was always air drumming. So even though I didn't, like, I wasn't technically trained, I was always being very rhythmic with everything. I couldn't stop, but well, I couldn't help it. It's probably ADD, but I was always like with pencils or something drawn on the desk. I couldn't. It was always just music in my head. So once I first got the drum set, it was, you know, I linked up with John shortly after. I've been playing with him like ever since. But I love listening to music. I love playing music. It definitely, anytime if I'm feeling sad or any kind of bothered, if I put on some kind of upbeat, like fun song, it instantly changes my mood. Mm. Like it's not even just like, oh, it kind of helped. Like it's like a 180, mm-hmm. you know, so. And I listen to so many different styles of music that I just appreciate all of them. So it doesn't matter if it's like pop music, like metal, country, whatever, you know, they all have their place. And if it's a good, fun song that I'll put on, I'll feel great.
What's okay. music mean to you, Amy?
Thank you, interviewee. I appreciate that.
Just try to keep us on track.
I know.
We're coming back in from a long splice of me cutting out a whole bunch of bullshit.
Oh, there's so much bullshit.
That's what's so fun.
Yeah, that's why it's fun. I would never have thought that music meant a lot to me until like I actually thought about it, because while I did play the piano, I do not have a musical bone in my body. In fact, I think I've told this story before, but I'll repeat it because it's embarrassing and funny and all and unbelievable, I should say. When I went to my booty certification, I'll never forget when I was practicing before the day that you like do the test, and Sarah and Scott were like banging on the ground being like, don't you hear the beat?
We were trying to get you to feel the rhythm, like, and so we were hitting, like, the ground
and
for her.
I like literally looked at both of them and I was like, what do you mean there's a beat in the song?
Scott and I looked at each other. We were like, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know, exactly.
I remember.
It was just one of those things.
I remember both of your faces. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, I'm really fucked here. And like, you know, I never really heard it until I heard it. And then I can't unhear it.
Yeah.
You know, anyways. So that's just to say that, like, it's never really been something that I'm good at. I used to, like, lay in bed at night and be like, if I were to die and wake up or be born again or something like that, like, I just wish I had a good voice or I was musical or something like that. Like, that's been, like, my dream of, like, if I could start over. But anyways, I can listen to music.
You don't have to be good at music to appreciate and love music.
Yes.
And for it to mean something to you.
This is true.
You should just embrace it.
This is true. So music has always meant a lot, or always meant a lot to my husband, Scott, and his whole world was around music. He was also a drummer. I don't know, guys. I don't know how life works, but that's how it works. And so his entire life was music. He loved it so much. Playing the drums was like his whole thing. And so he loved music. He shared it with Lily, and I was like, oh, whatever. And then it was like, this is terrible. But once he died, I was like, I fucking love music. And so it like, I went to concerts and I went to shows and I went to festivals and I like came alive again. And ever since then now, I can't stop because they have this effect on me that is something that I've never, that you can't explain, right? I think that's the thing with music. You can't really explain it. And so I absolutely love making myself playlists, like the playlist to get through a certain situation or the playlist, that I listen to like in the morning, or I was even telling Sarah, I have one that's like a serotonin boost. And so, you know, if I'm feeling a certain way and I like want to hear a certain type of thing to bring back a certain memory, you know, I will listen to that playlist. So I am a huge music fan, and it's really like, you know, my whole life, I guess, but really more recently.
Yeah.
My one like memory though, as a teenager, I think, I don't know which one of you I said, I think I told you, because I was saying I'm a four when I'm unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I listened to the entire Doors double disc over and over and over, and then I would listen to the end and just like lay there like at 13 like, this is the end. But it was like terrible. Yeah, so I was super super depressed, I guess.
Melancholy.
Melancholy, yes.
Emo out the,
oh my god, pores.
Somebody need to light your fire.
Ah. Bada bing.
I love it. Says the drummer. So I think that's a really great segue into what we listen to when we're feeling yucky and why we listen to those certain things and like songs that have gotten us through some tough times. So before we dive into the feelings of music, I just am really interested. I always love, give us your first concert and then your absolute favorite concert you've ever been to.
First concert, I was 16. My brother, who was 21 at the time, took me to see Def Leppard over at Star Lake.
Nice.
Nice.
And I had my first beer that day as well. And I remember, I remember it vividly. It was a Hulk Hogan like plastic mug with a handle, but my brother made me like put the lid on and have like a straw. So I was amazing. I was sipping a beer.
Ooh.
Out of, yeah.
Yummy.
Sipping a beer while listening to Pour Some Sugar on Me out of a Hulk Hogan cup. Oh my god. That's amazing.
That was killer. That was my first concert and favorite concert.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a curveball because I know you, what you think I might say, mm-hmm. but I went to see Rage Against the Machine with my nephew DJ over in Buffalo.
Oh, so I knew that was what it was going to be. I knew that.
I think that you thought that she was going to say Pearl Jam,
yes,
but you really were going to go with Rage.
I knew and it was going to be Rage.
And it's really hard to exceed expectations for a concert when you build it up. And I have wanted to see Rage since I was 15, and my brother didn't want to take me with him because I wasn't old enough and he wanted to party with his friends. They were touring with Wu-Tang.
Damn.
And then I had tickets to see them in the Beastie Boys and it got canceled. And then we had tickets for during COVID and it got rescheduled like 3 times because mm-hmm. of COVID. And I went in with high expectations. I knew it wasn't fair to myself. But they I mean, absolutely blew it away. And it was the best show I've ever seen.
Yeah, I guess the first one I attended and bought tickets to would be Godsmack, Deftones, and Puddle of Mud at Starlake.
That's quite the trio.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a good show. And I think there were some other, like, smaller openers, maybe on one of the small stages. But for, and that was a fun one. But for favorite, man, it's so hard to narrow it down.
You can say more than one because I might too.
Because, so, for, like, there's, you got the smaller shows, so I can kind of break it down in categories. Now, at Mr. Smalls, no pun intended there, I saw Butch Walker, the Fratellis. Butch Walker and the Fratellis was amazing. I don't know if you're familiar with either of them, but
no,
they're fantastic.
What kind of music is it?
Fratellis, well, Butch Walker, he's a famous songwriter, producer. He's written songs for tons of people. Like, if you just look him up, there's all these songs that you didn't know that he wrote, but he also writes his own. Concert that we just saw at the Carnegie Music Hall, Matt Nathanson.
Oh, yeah.
That was surprisingly amazing because, you know, I knew his one hit, mm-hmm. Or a couple of songs, and I'm like, yeah, this guy's pretty cool. But, you know, talent-wise, him and the opener were very talented musically, sing great, play great, and they were hilarious. It was like a stand-up comedy act in between every song for both the opening act and him.
I love that.
So it was just the most fun time, and we were both shocked at how much we loved it. And it was like a small environment, you know, a small atmosphere, which made it even better. But as far as, I guess, bigger shows, Tom Petty, Heartbreakers, Starlake, Springsteen at the arena. We saw Paul McCartney in Florida. I mean, that's amazing, right? ELO is awesome.
Yeah,
saw them at the arena. I'm getting the
Oscars music.
Yeah,
you gotta wrap
music.
It up.
Like I said, it's hard for me to narrow it down.
I think that do not make fun of me. You all will. My first concert, I was a sophomore in high school, and it was Jimmy Buffett at Starlake.
Why would I make fun of you?
That's the most
that's
Pittsburgh
fun.
Thing you could have ever seen.
It is the most
Pittsburgh.
Thing Pittsburgh. Did you have a parrot head hat?
No. We went because of boys.
Right.
Yeah, that was my first one. And then I think, like, you know, then I started seeing Dave like a million different times in a million different places.
I love that Dave.
So,
yeah, I mean, jams.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band and Rusted Root, I saw probably, I don't even know, a million times. Just starting there and then like the everywhere they were. So those were the first. The best concert, the best production. I remember saying to myself, I've been to a lot of shows. I love concerts. I can't stop going. I have a problem. but the best concert was when I saw Taylor Swift when she had a Reputation tour. It was the most well done and elaborate and just... It blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. It was Lily's first big concert, and it was really cool to take her. But even bigger than that, it was just a freaking incredible show. That's what I would say for, like, show-wise. You know, and sometimes, like, you go for the music, and sometimes you go for the show. But, you know, the See Here Now festival that I talk about all the time in New Jersey that I go to with my sister, it, like, saved my life. The year that I went in 2019, and then I go every year, and it still does because it's like just so cool to see so many awesome bands on the beach.
I bet I'm gonna make it there one of these days.
So good.
That was 2019
when Scott died. It just feels like isn't that wild?
It does feel like it's been almost 4 years, but it also
doesn't.
I think that COVID really like messed with everybody's timeline, like in their brains, because it feels
so
like...
I feel like we're like skipping around.
It does feel like we're skipping around. And so it is very weird. Yeah, so it'll be 4 years in May.
My first concert was, I was 13 and I went to see Alanis, and it was like literally right when Jagged Little Pill came out.
Shut the fuck up. Now I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Point of order. Wasn't your first concert Michael Bolton?
That wasn't my first concert. No, because my first if we're going like actual first concert, it would be like Alan Jackson or something like that.
You guys were like front row too.
The front row, sitting next to his wife, Nicolette Sheridan.
That was the Desperate Housewives lady.
Me and my sister, Shelley. No, I was 13. It was probably right around the
same
time.
I just had to bust her chops for that because that's a. Again, you like my and you like Michael
Bolton.
No
shame.
Yeah,
I have no shame.
Oh, really?
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Did you see his thing on SNL with Sandberg with the what's his musical group called on SNL? Andy Sandberg. He does Lonely Island.
Yeah, it, right? The Long Lonely Island or Long Island. Well,
they did the Jack Sparrow song with Michael Bolton. You know what I'm talking about? Well, look it up.
Okay,
it's great.
I will.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no shame. You can bust my chops all you want, but that was not. No, I don't think that was first. Anyway, the first concert I bought tickets to, and it was me and my friend, and we went. My parents drove us and sat in the parking lot of Star Lake.
Wait, that's how I went to Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they waited. I was like, "You guys are so nice. That's so cool."
I don't know that I would do that.
I don't know that I would do that now.
No way. Mm-hmm.
I would go in. That's what I would do. I would go in.
I wouldn't like stand one, but I'm like, why am I missing a concert? Right. I'm already here.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm going.
Like, unless it's something terrible that I would hate, but I would imagine I would like, you know.
True.
I would like it.
So it was, yeah, it was Alanis. And then best concert would be, it's got to be a tie. The very first time I saw Bare Naked Ladies when I was 16 years old, and I lived in Wheeling, West Virginia, and we drove here to Pittsburgh to see them at the AJ Palumbo Center. So it was small, and we were sitting like right up on the stage, basically on the side. And so that was freaking amazing because I was obsessed with them then. And like, you know,
they're still awesome.
They're still amazing.
They didn't make my list, but they were great when we saw them at the casino.
Such a great show. You know?
It was really fun.
I kind of wish that the other singer was still in the band.
Yeah. And so I got to see Steve Page with them too. Several times, actually. I've seen them in concert the most, then Dave Matthews after that. But that one's one of my favorites. And then when we lived in Vegas, he knows I'm going to say this. When we lived in Vegas and we saw Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, and he did a show where he performed about an hour and a half of his solo stuff. They took a break. He's like, when we come back, we're doing Dark Side of the Moon. Came back and did Dark Side from start to finish.
That was rad.
And it was the freaking most amazing, amazing show ever. It was so great. And that was at MGM. So it was a really big arena show. But left there so contact high. There was so much weed happening, and that was like in the 2000s when that was like not okay.
I remember us getting lost leaving.
Yeah,
we had no idea where we were going, and we lived there. We're like, where are we? I remember that. No,
taxi.
No, the chicks.
Oh well, that's yeah. I mean, okay.
So you said it's so hard because
it is.
Forget this.
Yeah, it's hard.
Talking about like being so incredibly happy at a concert. That's the happiest I've been at a concert.
Story in itself, just to get in there, right?
I mean, yes, it was.
Yeah. So that's true. I think you told it on the podcast before,
yeah,
right?
I have,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, that's
you were very happy.
That made it even more more amazing,
enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So, what do we listen to when we're feeling like shit? So we talked about in the very beginning how music can really affect our moods, how it affects all four of us and our moods and can change how we're feeling. I just think it's interesting what we choose to listen to when we're feeling sad. Randall, what do you listen to when you're feeling yucky?
Mostly from a theme, mostly acoustic, certain acoustic. One of the songs I always remembered listening to when I wasn't feeling good is a obscure Pearl Jam song called Off He Goes. And well, this is radio, so I'm going like this, but there's no like up and down, there's no waves, like it just goes. I realized that I listened to it a lot in college, but it was because of something I totally forgot about, and I actually had to Google it. I don't know if I blocked it out of my memory. Sarah, can you pronounce this because you're smarter than I am?
Tachycencia.
Basically, when I was in college, often I would feel like everything around me was moving at light speed, except for me. I felt like I was moving really slow. Everything I could hear, like the tiniest of noises, and everything just felt like it was hyper fast. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it. I mean, I was 19. I didn't know anything. I still don't. I forgot about it. But then I started to get it to a point where I would start to freak out a little. So I tried to play music to calm me down, and that was the only song that can do that. So when I listen to that song, it takes me to, corny enough, a happy place, but also a sad place. And I don't know what happened. Sarah didn't even know about it.
Yeah, I had never heard of tachycencia before.
Or that I even...
Or that you went through it, though, either. You didn't tell me about that until...
It was just really weird. So, and that's like the thing, like how it talked about like music bringing you back to places, but I like blocked that part out for so long. That's my like number one song. So that's a couple of reasons. But anything acoustic, Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies, their acoustic EP, I will listen to when I am not when I'm just like really down.
I think it brings up another interesting point that like Amy and I have talked about on the show. And, you know, Amy says like you've had your diagnosis since you were 19 or 18.
18, yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't. But I think back and when we were doing this and like going through music and figuring out, you know, what we listened to in certain points of our life. And I was like, I was 1000% depressed in college.
Yeah.
At 18 years old. I had no idea. I had no clue. I didn't even really know what that meant. But when I look back on it, absolutely. I just laid in bed. I drew the curtains. I would listen to really sad music. I was tired all the time. Like I slept a lot. I was like, oh my God, I was depressed. And then you just realizing that you had this anxiety disorder of, you know, this tachycencia is wild.
I was reading about it. It said neurological and related to migraines and anxiety. And it's, I guess, kind of rare or hard to pinpoint causes. Yeah, it's kind of crazy thinking that's how you were and you had no idea, no concept. I can't even remember what I thought about it. Like at the time, like, did I think there was something wrong with me or did I not even connect the dots? Michael?
I took down a list of like a top 10 favorite
top
songs.
62.
Well,
75.
So originally, we're talking about top like album songs, playlists, whatever. So I kind of went with that. If I had to go straight songs when I'm sad, I don't think there's any real rhyme or reason. Although it does seem like, well, I know it seems like a lot of people listen to sad songs when they're sad, but I listen to like happy songs when I'm sad, and then like kind of sad songs when I'm happy. Because you know, yeah, if I'm not feeling great or I'm just kind of annoyed, bummed, or whatever, if I put on like something like Footloose or you know, just or
he does the dance in the shower,
Sledgehammer from Peter Kidd, or like You Could Call Me Al,
yes.
Or like In Sync, like anything that's catchy and upbeat, it just like just makes me happy, you know.
Just want to sit in it.
No, I mean, I do without, I'm doing that without any audio. I got all the time in the world to do that. And then when I listen to music, why do I want to keep torturing myself? I want to like,
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just
so
curious.
That's just how I, but, real quick, I'm going to run through this list, of songs. And these are all, live performances. Cause the things I seem to enjoy the most are songs, live versions of them. So, well, any Earth, Wind & Fire September, performance. Cause that's amazing. A new one was Sam Ryder. He's this guy. He's pretty big on TikTok. Has long blonde hair. He sings, but he ended up getting pretty popular. And he sang with Justin Hawkins of The Darkness on BBC, like on New Year's Eve. And he sang I believe in a thing called Love with him. And you could just see him like giggling and laughing and looking like this is the most amazing moment of my life. It just made me feel good seeing him so like living his dream in front of me. You know that. The Family Matters theme song, like any TV theme songs, I love them. I really do. I sing along. Keith Urban, he played his song "Good Thing." There's a clip from one of his concerts where he called up a fan to play along, and this guy just plays guitar and just nails the song, and it was really cool. Now this guy is touring with like a national act, so good for him. The OJ's "Love Train" from Live from Daryl's House, Daryl Hall. He has that show. It just gives me like goosebumps. It's just so good. Bruno Mars, "Valerie," the tribute to Winehouse, 2011 MTV VMAs, amazing. They got this acapella breakdown, so good. Any Bruno Mars is amazing. Yeah. I love listening to him. There's a live version of from I don't know where or when, but it has a horn section, everything, a whole big band of Vince Gill, "Don't Let Our Love Start Slipping Away," and it's I can listen to a horn section. Yeah, like accompanying.
I gotta hear that.
I will send it to you. Yeah. It is so good. I'll listen to it all the time. And I think my favorite video that I always go back to all the time is Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton's performance from the 2015 CMAs, Tennessee Whiskey and Drink You Away. Mm-hmm. Drink You Away is Timberlake's song. Was probably the best live performance from like any like award show ever. It is so good. If you haven't seen it, I'll have to send you. Because the whole crowd, like Keith Urban, like he's like loving it. Like everyone... It's just amazing. The band is so, I think it's Timberlake's band. They were so good.
His band is so good.
And it's just amazing. It gives you chills, like just watching. So I could, anytime I'm not feeling great, like I could just watch that and just, it just, I just feel like overwhelmed with like, just, it's like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I know that's kind of went down this road here. Usually happier songs or upbeat songs whenever I'm sad to kind of get me out of it. Although sometimes I can listen to a more sad song, but.
Side note on that, I met Vince Gill the first time when I was like 8 because he played at Jamboree in the Hills, which was my dad's event. And my dad booked him like year after year, and he would come back every year and he would remember my name. Nice. And he was the nicest man.
He seems like really
just a kind person.
Yeah.
And
that makes it even better.
It does. It makes it so much better because I've met a lot of country artists from the 90s because of that experience and how I grew up. And by far, he was the nicest person I have ever
met.
And
in the music circle, he's not, but like one of the most underrated guitarists ever.
Oh my God, he's so talented.
Like him and Prince are like two guys that are like really underrated on guitar with how good they are, but they are like amazingly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a word, but they're amazingly good.
Yes. No, he was incredible. That's why he was back every single year. My dad was like, he's just an automatic rebook.
I don't think I listen to a lot of music when I'm just sad, like depression wise, because I'm just, that's how sad I am. Like I'm not even gonna go find any music. But I do have, when I'm feeling grief, and I am missing Scott, then I do find myself listening to certain albums, certain songs. So I listen to Vampire Weekend and Passenger. I don't know if you listen to Passenger, but
it's been a while, but yeah.
Uh-huh. And especially Let Her Go. Probably, I think, one of the saddest songs is Breathe Me by Sia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple reasons. One, because it was the ending scene of 6 Feet Under, the HBO show.
I never watched it.
Okay, it's so good. And I remember when we were watching it, Scott looked at me and he said, can you please play that at my funeral? And I was like, ugh. So we did. But it makes me think of like just dying and the next steps and all of those sorts of things every time I listen to that song. If you don't know that song, well, I mean, it's fucking sad.
It is.
And so...
it's really good, though.
I'll get right on that, then.
I know. It's really, really good, though. Mm-hmm. But those are some of the songs that I listen to if I'm feeling like, you know, I have playlists of them. If I'm feeling like a little bit, you know, of grief and I just need to... So I've talked about this, I think, just to Sarah, not on here, but Apple TV is doing a great job with mental health, not just Ted Lasso, but this show Shrinking. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So it's about a widow who's also a therapist, and they do this thing where they do like 15 minutes where you listen to like sad music that makes you think about them, and you like, you're just like sad and crying and whatever, and then you like are done. You get your 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And so that made me think of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I do. I wallow for a little bit, and okay, so for more than a little bit, usually, because I am a 4 on the Enneagram.
I was going to say, you're a 4. There's really no way around it.
So I'm just melancholy all the time.
All the time.
But
brooding.
Yes, brooding constantly. But there's sort of different songs that have hit for different aspects of grief in my life. So for my brother, Jeff, listening to Queensryche, Silent Lucidity, and Moody Blues, I Know You're Out There Somewhere. Those were the songs that I would just listen to kind of on a constant. Queensryche, because... he loved Queensryche, and I couldn't stand the rest of the music he listened to, like Rat and Poison. I know Mike's like, what the fuck's wrong with Rat?
Round and round.
And Kiss. He loved Kiss too.
Love Kiss, yeah. But Queensryche was my favorite of all of that. And Eric Johnson, who's a guitarist. So I would listen to like Desert Rose and some other Eric Johnson stuff to just sort of wallow in my grief with him, even as a 9-year-old. And still today. For my dad, he also loved those songs because he was hit so hard, of course, obviously, by, you know, losing his son. So those songs also kind of tie in for him too, and my grief that's tied to him. And when I'm missing him, I like to hear those. He also made a CD for his funeral called
We took it a step further.
Yes, Let's Put the Fun in Funeral. So of course he made like a double disc mixed CD for us to play at his wake, and that's what we played and listened to. So that whole mix, of course, I need to find I have the actual CDs somewhere, and if I can find it, I need to recreate that list. But I remember a lot of the songs.
It's probably in one of the bins we brought home from your mom's.
Yeah. And I just remember him listening when he had gotten the diagnosis and was given like a timeline of this is how much time you have. He listened to, there's a song from 50s or 60s called The End of the World. And he listened to that song like on repeat. And it just made me so sad for him. You know, I couldn't even imagine like knowing that you're going to die and like what you do with that feeling and information. And so music was a huge part of his processing that whole part of his life as well, which is super wild. For my mom, I listened to I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack, because every time that song would come on, she would say, this is just my wish for my girls. This is what I wish for my daughters. And so it just makes me think of her. Then when I realized going through this that I was super depressed in college and had no idea, I listened to Ben Folds 5 Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner on loop, like over and over again, and would just like be depressed in my room with the lights off and listening to it. And
you were a brick.
Yes, drowning slowly. There's a song on that album though called Magic, and that song for me is so great for any moment of grief. There's a line in that song that just makes me feel peace and happiness for the people I've lost in my life. And the line says, you're the magic that holds the sky up from the ground. You're the breath that blows these trees round. Trade places with an angel now. And so just that line in the song brings me peace and lets me know like they're around us in all aspects of life, no matter where we go. So that's super healing, but also makes me cry a whole lot. Those are my sad songs. Those are my sad sack songs that I wallow in. And then I have a hard time. I have a hard time getting myself out of that place to be like, you need to put on some happy music and feel happy. But once I do get there, it's good. What's your feel good music?
First thing I think of when I think of feel good music, I could rattle off like individual songs. I feel like Mike would love this too. Like Walking on Sunshine, mm-hmm. Katrina and the Waves, anything by like Puff Daddy and Notorious B.I.G. and Mace.
During, I was going to say you're forgetting
during
Mace.
That time period, because it reminds me of hanging out with my best friends. And that was like the happiest I was adolescence, childhood wise with any of my friends. So it was that and anything by the Beastie Boys. And that just reminds me of driving around with my friends from soccer and, you know, stopping and hanging out at Sheets and, you know, being super lame, but that always makes me happy.
Yeah. Before you had adult responsibilities, I think we all love to go back to that space.
Yeah. And we thought we were the coolest and we just had fun and yeah, no cares. And I listen to that now and it makes me happy, but it also kind of makes me a little sad.
Yeah.
You know, now look at me. Ugh.
Damn, bro. Come on.
And then that cycles Sorry. You back to yeah. going to yeah. sad music.
Nah. I am looking at you. Nah. And I'll tell you what. I'm liking what I'm saying.
Thanks. I like your moves.
No cap. For real, for real.
No cap. God.
You're straight bussing inside.
Bussing.
So the list of happy songs would be too long, but they're like no. Oh, wait. Probably anything by Hall & Oates, too. Man.
Oh, yes.
Man, they were good.
Oh, man.
Daryl yeah. Hall on that and
yeah
that show is amazing.
That show is one of my favorite. Like I remember
he's really underrated.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. That's like my dream. If I could be in his band and just and collaborate with all like you know play with him and then play with a bunch of random yeah. musicians that come in and then play their songs. I mean, what a life.
Yeah, yeah. Good for him.
Man, contrary to what she believes, I do. I came up just now with more happy songs that are not on the list. Yeah, Ben Rector, Brand New. Remember I showed you I made that like video package? Like it was like the year anniversary of Bell State, and I made that video, and I use that song. So every time I hear that song, I think of the video. And if I watch a video, too, it makes me happy. Fast Cars and Freedom from Rascal Flatts.
Yes.
Nice. Anytime, I think the first time I heard it, I remember just driving around. It was summer, the windows are down, and it just makes me feel like have that like it's like that vibe, you know. It just makes you want to drive around listening to it with the windows down, just cranking up, you know. Dave Matthews Band, love it. Like anytime, even though I love you know so many songs from them, but even though this is so overplayed, once I hear that,
yeah.
Bow. She wakes up in the morning, does his teeth mind to eat on his right hand. Like, I mean, you can't resist that or like Too Much. I love Too Much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those kind of things I love when I'm in a good mood. And actually, yeah, I'll listen to a lot of like heavier stuff too. Like No Surprise from Theory of a Dead Man,
Blood and Water from Memphis May Fire. Like This Fire Burns from Killswitch Engage, or their cover of Dio's Holy Diver. Probably speaking a different language here, but
I've never heard of any of that.
What is all that?
Is it metal?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
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 Dio, I got. I didn't get the other ones.
But I yeah. I mean, like I said, I'll go. I could go from listening to boy bands to death metal, like and then country, then jazz. I mean, I'm very musically ADD, mm-hmm. but there's just I just appreciate so many aspects of music. I can't narrow it down to just one genre.
Oh,
that's
I forgot
that'd
one.
That'd be boring, you know. So
you put "I Want It That Way" on. Oh,
yeah,
well, killing see,
I
killing
love,
it.
I love BSB. I think for some reason though, whenever I really want to like be in a good mood, I'll put like "Tearing Up My Heart" or "I Want You Back" or "It's Gonna Be Me" from NSYNC. Those are bangers, but. But BSB, "As Long As You Love Me," quit playing games with my heart, with my heart. Like, yeah, I don't know. They got a lot of flack, obviously, you know, especially, you know, when I was in school when they were around, like when they're popular, it's like, how don't even think about saying you like this, you know, but. Yeah, man, I like it. It's good stuff. And it just puts me like all the cheese. It could be the cheesiest stuff. And I love it because it just has a fun melody, a catchy hook, and just makes me want to sing along.
Dirty Amy.
Dirty Amy. Here we go.
Clean up in Hobbits.
If You Seek Amy.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that song?
That was quite the pull. I'm very
what
proud of myself.
It's a Britney song.
Oh,
from
no.
like 04 or 05. If You Seek Amy, it's for F-U-C-K me. Is what she's saying, but it's the song is named "If You Seek Amy."
Rare.
Oh wow, mm-hmm. It's deep, Brittany.
Mm-hmm. She's a clever one.
She is a clever one. I do have my songs that I listen to when I'm in a good mood, but I was also thinking about the past year and some of the shit I'd been through, and so I thought it was really funny to look at my top played things.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it was People I Don't Like, Problems, A B C D E F U, and like Unstoppable, I Am Woman. Like it was just like so funny because it's like I don't even listen to them anymore because now they make me think of that time.
Right.
Which is really weird because I listen to them so much.
Mm-hmm.
But when I am in a good mood, I like to listen to, or you know, when the weather changes, that's another thing too.
Yes, yeah, right? The music shifts. Yes,
yeah,
I got you.
So Michael Franti and Spearhead. And so when I went to See Here Now last year, there was a band that I didn't even know that we would want to see. It was kind of one of those things where we just turned around and then the band playing on the stage behind us, we were at the other stage, happened to be, I want to make sure I get the name right, Andy Frasco and the UN, and they're so fucking good. So Dancing Around My Grave is probably one of my absolute favorite songs because it has so much meaning, but it's also so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's ridiculous and super fun. And they had, I was like, the whole time I was like, Mike would fucking love this because they had an entire like horn section come on. I mean, it was a full stage of just like, I don't even know. There was probably like 15 to 20 musicians on the stage playing at once.
I love that. I love huge bands like
orgasms.
That.
You bring in a full circle.
Unstoppable. Yeah.
And then, so one thing we didn't talk about that's really interesting is like songs that make us think of like other people. And so I always say this to Mike. I say like, I remember exactly the moment that you sent me this song. And it was like such a big moment for me in how I changed, not changed, but like I felt a big change in how I guess it is change, how I felt about him. And it's the song One Man Band and it's really fucking good. And so I listen to that a lot if I'm having a really bad day, because then I feel like, I don't know, I have that feeling again and then I think about Mike and it's better.
Well, when I sent it to you, I recorded it.
No, you sent it to me way before that.
Oh, okay.
So you sent it to me like 3 months maybe in, something like that. But then also then that was the next December. He recorded it for me and sang it.
Aww.
That's really sweet. It's in a Dropbox and I have it and it's so good. And then I also, I guess I'm becoming a Swiftie. I don't know. I've listened to Midnights on repeat. I cannot stop.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's so fucking good. from start to finish. And who listens to an album anymore? Not me, because Spotify, right? But right. I listen to her album over and over and over and over again. I can't. It's so good.
I have to listen to it. I can't believe I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah.
Especially the concept of it.
You're going to love it so much because of the meaning behind certain songs.
Yeah. Well, and then when she said what the concept of the album was, right. Like, I was like, oh, that is going to... Basically, just like when you're up at midnight and you're, you know, up in the middle of the night and the things that you're thinking of and the different... What's the like word I'm looking for?
Ebbs and flows.
Yeah, the different. Yeah, exactly. Ebbs and flows that you go through when you're up in the middle of the night. Because sometimes you're up in the middle of the night because you're super sad or because you're anxious about something or, you know, you just can't sleep. And right. Is that. Am
yeah.
I? Okay. And yeah. So it was like, that's the concept of it. I was like, that's rad. That's a really good idea.
Cool. Sarah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
What do you listen to when you are happy?
My feel goods.
When you're in a feel good, roll the windows down.
Anything from the 90s, obviously.
Oh, yes.
So definitely I love, this is going to sound so weird, but like one of the songs that like gets me going is White Stripes. Seven Nation Army. I don't know why. I think that's early 2000s though, not 90s.
Yeah. You and the rest of Pittsburgh.
I know. It's so weird, but that's like one of the songs that I just remember, I think, I just was so impressed by the fact that it was two people, I think, at the time when I like first started listening to them, that I just really, I love knowing the nitty gritty behind things and like yes. knowing different meanings behind songs or like how songs were made or like what inspired somebody to write something. So when I hear certain details like that, it'll change the way I feel about a song exponentially.
You know, you can do that on Spotify now. You can pull it up and it'll tell you like
yeah,
the meaning.
Yeah, the genius part of it. It's so cool. I love that. But then I just sit there and like read
me too.
Shit all the
I know.
Time. I'm like, I should really be doing something.
You know instead who did that first for music?
Pop video.
You're goddamn right.
Pop into pop up video. Pop.
Oh my God. That was like IMDb for music.
Yeah.
Wasn't the host that Dave, the guy from or VH1 or.
Yes.
I have
yes.
no idea.
Yes.
But
Dave
I just,
something.
I just remember that channel or that show rocked.
Yeah. Pop up video was rad.
Man. Okay, sorry.
I had to sneak that, though, because I wasn't allowed to watch MTV or VH1, so that was a sneak when my parents weren't home thing.
Well,
it's kind of sad. So I was like, I have to be home in time to see TRL.
Ugh.
I like TRL.
Spoiler alert, Britney was on.
Oh. It's pretty, bitch.
Oh, man.
All right, Randall, let's bring it down a notch.
Oh, bring it down a what?
Bring it down a notch.
Oh, I thought you said nutch.
Bring it down to like a Jessica Simpson. You're like at a Aguilera.
Yeah.
You gotta go down to a Simpson.
Yes, all right.
Also, what I love to listen to when I'm just feeling really good is anything that I can like belt out to and sing, because singing changes my mood so much and it makes me so fucking happy. And so I love to sing stuff from the 90s, but I also love to like whip out some like country, but also musicals. Like I'll put on like the Rent soundtrack or like something
Same.
Like that. Yeah, and just
love that.
Sing along to
what
that.
About some Whitney.
Some Whitney, absolutely. Yeah, I Will Always Love You. I Want to Dance with Somebody. What was the song I was singing the other night that was Whitney that the kids were like, go, Mom.
Oh, I forget.
I Have Nothing.
Thank you. I Have Nothing.
Yes. That's
fitting.
That's a banger.
Yeah, it is a banger.
Oh, man. Oh, how about it? You ever sing along John Michael Montgomery, Sold? I love singing
Fuck
that.
Yes, I did.
That is such a fun. I did a karaoke once at Tequila Cowboy.
Yeah.
I mean, killed it because I mean, they weren't ready for that. But that or like Temptations, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. I love singing that. Or like any oldie. I love singing oldies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually grew up listening to country because when I was born, the station that my dad was working at and a DJ for was a country station in Florida. And so that's like been what I grew up listening to, but I never liked it until that song, until John Michael Montgomery Sold. And then
so
I was
fun.
Like,
it's
okay,
so fun.
I guess country can be fun. And then I started listening to it more. He had a country station and I was like, okay, this is actually good. And then I ended up becoming a fan. When you said something about songs that make you think of people, I did want to say that any Pearl Jam song obviously makes me think of Randy, but, when we first started dating, he got me my first birthday card. He wrote a lyric from Black. it was one of those things where, you know, how you said you had like that moment that like changed the way you felt about them. And that was one of those moments where I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think I could love him any more than I do. But I was like, fell so in love with him. He's very proud of himself right
That's
now.
Really smooth, Randall.
Well, I was saving up my smoothness for 22 years. So
you got to bust some more of that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Okay. I think it was the, I hope someday you have a beautiful life. I hope you'll be a star.
I know you'll be a star is what you wrote.
Yeah.
You wrote, I know someday you'll have a beautiful life. I know you'll be a star.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's what he wrote in that my beats card. Me. That's what I was like.
I wrote down some heartwarming lyrics from the song Low. I think it goes, Shorty got them apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, the whole club looking at her.
I bet she swooned so
she
hard.
She just melted like a like M&M's in your hand. Even though they say they melt in your mouth and on your hand.
They have a thin candy coating. Yeah. Surprised you didn't know that.
I mean, go out in the desert holding some M&M's. Tell me they're not going to be like nothingness. You're lying, M&M's. You're lying.
And then the last song that makes me think of you that I actually don't listen to enough is Oasis' Songbird. He sang that to me the very first time that I came and like stayed at your house.
What?
Sorry, the
headphones keep
catching and pulling off my head. It was just a very touching moment.
Touching me,
touching you.
Ba ba ba.
Sweet Caroline. You know, I was like, I touch myself.
of course, the good DA.
Nice.
Dirty Amy.
Good times never felt so good.
Alone.
Never feel so good.
Maybe I will compile some of our faves into a playlist and we can put the
Spotify playlist.
The link in our show notes for y'all to check out. If it's there, I did it. If it's not, I didn't.
Boundaries.
Thank you to our loves for coming on and having fun with us tonight. And we're so happy. We always have a blast with you. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And
it's like 11 p.m. on a random Tuesday night.
Yeah, so we got to wrap this. We got to wrap it.
Yeah.
But I love talking about music and hearing people's different opinions and viewpoints and how it makes them feel. It's just such a great conversation. I hope you all enjoyed it, too. And you should send us your fave songs and what you listen to and makes you happy and what you listen to when you're feeling shitty. And we'll compile one giant, huge-ass playlist for all of our listeners.
That'll be really fun.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much again for joining us. We hope that you have a great week and that you stay wild.
And Weird Warriors, we love you. This episode was brought to you by Sarah Simone and Amy Baumgartner. Theme song and other music provided by Epidemic Sound. All episodes are mixed, mastered, and produced by me, Sarah Simone. To help us keep making episodes just like this one, consider supporting us on patreon.com/unqualifiedtherapistsinc. Or share us with a friend, relative, coworker, hairstylist, butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Sharing us not only helps keep the mics on, but it furthers our mission in removing the stigma. If you have a mental health journey you'd like to share, email us at unqualifiedtherapists@gmail.com or reach out to us on our website, www.unqualifiedtherapists.com. Until next time, hold on, warrior. We're gonna make it. Say it loud, say it proud, shout it out, make it when we go. You're a warrior.